Shabbat Shalom once again from the great Kahan, Benjamin Arvin.
Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's a great pleasure to be here today, speaking to the greatest people on the face of the earth and everyone in the outlying areas that's watching today on the seven continents in the world. Welcome to the greatest tree on the face of the earth that's growing by leaps and bounds. You know, the peaceful solution, and by the way, that's my title of my sermon today, is I'm giving you a report on the peaceful solution and the progress that we're making, that we are making as a team. This is teamwork, okay? Together, everyone achieves more. Now, turn over, if you would, to Matithiah 13:31. So we can set this in our minds. Matithiah 13:31, and it's found on page 740. And it's talking about the parable of the mustard seed, where he says, he presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of Yahweh is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is indeed the least of all seeds, when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come to nest in its branches. Now, I don't have a lot of time to talk today because I want you to hear some things today that are really going to uplift you and really give you more zeal and determination to get this work done. I have some videos I need to play for you, but I need to set the stage. Now, everybody by now should know about the great judge, Rosie Cuellar, down in Laredo, Texas, who is doing an awesome job of pushing this message forward daily. I want you to remember, by the way, I think most of us are familiar with this picture. You know, remember, this banner is hanging in the municipal courthouse up for everyone to see that walks into that courthouse in the city gates of Laredo, Texas on a daily basis, at least 5 days a week. They see that image when they walk in the courthouse. Not only do they see that image, they also see the posters that the children of the House of Yahweh made with all the peaceful solution quotes. So you're all familiar with that. And so remember, the peaceful solution is being taught on a daily basis in the Laredo city gates at the municipal courthouse. And hundreds of people, if you can believe that many people get tickets, hundreds of people come in to the municipal court on a weekly basis, and they're exposed to these things. Now remember that. It's an ongoing teaching. It wasn't a one-time thing. Your work is being taught daily. I want to show you right now the latest video that the great Judge Rosie made for the Peaceful Solution website.
Hi, I'm Judge Rosie Cuellar from Laredo, Texas. And I would like to say something regarding the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. I've been using this character program in my courtroom and have seen it used at many other places in this city, such as City Hall, our schools, our churches, businesses, and our homes. It is my experience that this program is the best for building positive character in children and adults alike. I found that it was readily accepted and well-liked by those we introduced this character education program to. Those who have taken the course are amazed at the many ways at which this course helps in their lives. Even with the age-old problems they have had to deal with all their lives. This program deals with everyday problems as well as problems not readily seen. Problems of all kinds are solved with amazing speed. The very best thing I see in this character education program is that it gives everyone solutions to problems, even before they arise. Trouble lies in surprise. When we are caught off guard and pressed for quick answers, we can have them already given to us ahead of the problem. We do not need to fish for an answer. We will have learned it already by the time we finish this course. Nothing can be more simple or easy than to take this course and be prepared in advance for any problem that arises. This program helps everyone. Fathers, mothers, children, employers, employees, law enforcement, and even judges like me. What we need is to join together and put this program in every school, courtroom, and home across this world so that this next generation will be able to avoid sickness, disease, substance abuse, hatred, violence, and war that results from not having the answers or the steps to take avoiding such consequences. Yes, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program is not only capable of solving all of these problems and others, but also totally eradicating them. I'm Judge Rosie Cuer, and I'm asking you to join me in Character We Teach on the website peacefulsolution.org. I encourage you to visit this website and read how the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program can solve your problem. I look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Everybody, clap your hands. It's cold outside. I'm going to try and give you a lot of reasons to clap today for the great Peaceful Solution Program and the progress that's going forth. And by the way, did y'all notice the pair of scales on Judge Rosie's on her bench? Notice what they match right there? Not every judge has those. Now, we all know that Judge Rosie's doing a very great job. This is a very great woman who has put all of her total career on the line. But she understands that she has nothing to lose, but everything to gain from promoting the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, because it is the wave of the future. Make no mistake, this tree is growing and it's going to fill the earth, completely fill the earth. And the teachers of the Peaceful Solution are going to do this job of promoting peace. Now, what we may not remember is another woman that was involved that actually is the one that got this whole ball rolling. I'm going to show you a picture of her. Would you agree that 2013 has been a very busy year in the House of Yahweh? At the very beginning of the year, the Peaceful Solution team was invited by the Women's City Club to come down because they gave us a grant, a large sum of money. And I want to show you the picture of a woman that was there on January 10, 2013 at the Laredo Women's City Club, whose name was Esther Curzon Farova. Now, I want you to understand that Esther is the driving... Now, of course, Yahweh is doing this whole thing with Yahshua and the chosen branch in these last days, okay? But understand this. This woman right here is the one that got the ball rolling and even got Judge Rosie involved in this whole thing. And if you think Esther went away, no, Esther is very much involved in the Peaceful Solution, and you're going to find out just how involved she is and how she's been involved this whole time. Now, y'all remember back in, I want you to see this picture here. Back on 3/21/2013, the Peaceful Solution, Esther Curzon Farova, the president of Lead Laredo, put on a fundraiser for the Peaceful Solution program. And we talked about that back at the Gold Feast of Passover. And we talked about how that word, even the date, 3/21, when this event was held, 3/21 in Strong's, I got to show you this, it meant to lead. To lead. Imagine that. To lead. Lead Laredo. We didn't tell her what to name her organization, but Yahweh is in control of this plan. Nothing is done outside of the plan. Yochanan 1:1. Don't ever forget that this whole thing is being led and controlled by Yahweh, Yahshua, and the chosen branch in these last days. Now, so Lead Laredo, they had this very successful event where they invited people that I would have never, the missionary team and myself would never have been able to get involved with unless this woman, Esther, had gone to them, talked to them, and got them all in that room. There was 300 people in that room, superintendents of school districts, directors of hospitals. These were people that were very up there in society there in Laredo, Texas. Now, at this time, I want to play for you another video, and we're going to hear from this great woman that's been behind this whole operation and continuing to spread this peaceful solution. And I want to, but I want to set the stage again. I want you to listen to these things. You know, when Yahshua, remember when Yahshua, he would hear things from people and he would be amazed and marvel and say, I haven't even heard this. This is wonderful that you understand these things. He says, I haven't even heard these things in all of Israel. He was amazed at the words that came from their mouth. Now, I want you, when you listen to this, I want you to think about, I want us all to think about, do we stand as strong and firm as you're going to hear this woman speaking? And this woman does not know, she's not in the house of Yahweh, but she firmly believes in this program, and you're going to see that here in just a moment. Now, about YH, about Israel Hawkins, I want you to understand what I want you to be listening for is, she talks about he's an individual who's actually committed to bringing morals back into humanity. She understands they're not there, okay? Also, she says that the peaceful solution is sincere. It's based on truth and it's what it's supposed to be about. It's biblical. It's biblical. I've had a hard time convincing some people that it's based on the laws of Yahweh. Yes, it is, and even she sees that. She also said, I don't go by secondhand information about the peaceful solution. I go by firsthand because I've tried it, and so should you. Very educated. And also, I want you to listen how she's willing to go and share this with everyone and will be glad to share it, okay, with everyone. But without any further delay, I'd like to play the second video, the first part.
Society has tried so many things. We've tried so many solutions, and it is apparent that they have not worked. You can refer to drunk driving, you can refer to substance abuse, domestic abuse, whatever you want to call them. They're not working. They haven't worked, and they're not working. The sad thing about it is that they're getting worse, and the programs, more are coming out, and they're still being either non-effective or less effective. But the saddest thing about it is those individuals involved are being lost. It could be your brother, your father, your husband, your nephew. It could be your friend, a business partner, and there is no real help for them. What I find even sadder is that there is a program that's available. The program has been around for years, as you explained to me, and I'm amazed that the founder, Israel Hawkins, actually took it upon himself years ago to start the very simple thing that everybody should have done on their own. And it took an individual who is actually committed to doing the very simple thing, which is bring morals and ethics and respect back into humanity. We are a generation, and everybody talks about it so liberally. Oh my gosh, I feel, you know, what are my kids going to be up against? I'm going to cross my arms. Well, what are my grandchildren going to be up against? Well, nothing I can do. Oh well, we'll find out. I just don't think that's acceptable. There is something you can do. Go back to your roots. Peaceful solutions is a curriculum, the curriculum that is sincere. It's based on truth. It's based on principalities, originality. And it's what it's supposed to be about. It's biblical. Whether you want to believe it or not, it doesn't change it. It is a fact. And it is what brings everything back into the household. You know, my gratitude to Israel Hawkins. Thank you. It's sure he's paid the price. But that's okay. Because there's been a lot of souls saved. A lot of people have hope now. But nowadays, if you hear parents talk, they go, oh my God, what's going to become of the future of our children? And I'm thinking, seriously? You could add to that if you would implement the very simplest things. It's I hope and pray that the peaceful solution does continue to grow. It's should be embraced. It's sad that it's challenged and people have a tendency to invent these wild stories and twist things around and scare you to death and maybe even tell you a story or two. But, you know, if first question is, have you tried it? And their answer is going to be no. So then you're telling me all these things? I don't go by second-hand information. I go by first-hand information. I've tried it. And everybody should try it. It's really, I cannot tell you anymore how much simpler life will get. Bring back your morals. Bring back your principles. Bring back your respect. And you'd be amazed. But there's one thing that we can hang on to, and that is hope. And one thing that we're trying to do is bring back those morals and principles. Start with us first, and then enforce it in our children, hopefully in society. And if I can, I'll be more than glad to help someone else bring that to their home, to their school, to their business, to their city, to their state, to their country. So anyone that wants to talk to us about it, I'm open. It's very simple. I don't need a certificate. You just need the truth. And that's what Peaceful Solutions is. So, from the bottom of my heart, William, thank you. And Israel Hawkins, thank you. Continue doing it because we need it. So I'm talking to William all excited. I'm going, William, I got this program. It's really going to be neat. It's going to be called The Designated Driver. And we're going to go to bars and they're going to give them complimentary non-alcoholic beverages. And he goes, whoa, wait a minute. Why do we even have to go there? And I'm going, huh? And he says, he just blew my bubble, burst my bubble. He says, but why should we even have to go to it's acceptable that they can drink and agree upon a designated driver? Mm-hmm. I said, you just made a lot of sense. There goes my whole program. So now we're regrouping it and trying to go there. So after what William said to me, it made a lot of sense. So I thought, okay, let's can the DD designated driver campaign. It was going to be called the DDC. And let's go further. Let's go deeper into that, you know. Okay, first, I'm going to ask her, what's your platform? Because she's going to go, huh? And then I'm going to say, do you want a platform that everyone has, or do you want a platform that it's going to have deep roots? As a parent, and you can relate to this with nine children, if your child is going to go to juvenile court and they're going to stand there in front of a judge, you know that whatever he's going to give them as punishment is not going to be good. Number one, throwing them in whatever they're going to throw them in. Okay, Texas Juvenile Correction Facility. How many rape cases were there? 209 rape cases. Oh, by who? The same officers. Okay, so the system is hypocritical. It's all messed up. So what we want to tell her is, you know, what I told Janie, we don't want the same old, same old. You know, I'm going to bring in programs. What's going to be different about this program?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're all the same. Mm-hmm. What's going to be different about yours? So, and I'm going to ask her that. And I'm going to tell her, Vicki, this is what I want to do. Look, again, I'm a mother. I don't want to risk my child or my children or my grandchildren ever going to a sick system. It is hypocritical. They treat them like animals. Even to when you're an adult and you get convicted. I remember the Court of Appeals judge told me, I don't have a lot of choices. I'm forced to. I have four choices. I'm forced to pick one of those. So then I said, so then you are agreeing with me that the system is hypocritical because this offender doesn't qualify in any of those. So you have to pick and choose the one that could be closest. How is that fair? So what we want to ask her to do is make history. Mm-hmm. Make history as a mother and a grandmother. Make history. Give those children, give those adults a sincere, permanent solution where you won't see them again. Mm-hmm. A sense of hope, not just responsibility and punishment, but hope. But you know, and William has done a tremendous job. Laredo is a very unique town. So unique.
It's different than any other place I've come.
Oh, we always tell people, you're in for a ride. Either you make it or you don't.
Yeah.
He has survived. He's been up there, and then he's been criticized. And when he told me, Esther, you're going to go... And I went, oh, William, don't worry about it. I can handle it. Whoa. I was kind of like taking a beating even from my own committee, and I'm just sharing this with you because I didn't really believe it. And it was, what is so wrong about this? I don't get it. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear about Phil, Dr. Phil, and...
Oh, Dr. Phil,
oh my God. I even have one of your former members... email me, right? But I challenged him. I mean, I just kept telling him, like, you know, and then I finally told him, just Satan's standing behind me. I didn't know what else to tell him.
He didn't call you.
He didn't call me anymore.
That's amazing.
Get behind me, Satan. Now, you know, that is amazing that here we have an individual that's not even in the house of Yahweh, but would stand against people she has known for upwards of 30, 40 years. People that can make or break her in the community that she's been working with. But you know what? Again, she's just like Judge Rosie. She is not worried about losing anything because she knows she has everything to gain with this program. Do we believe that, all of us? Yes. Praise Yahweh. And we do. You know, that's why we're braving this sub-freezing temperature and all these things so we can push forward this work. Now, Esther, I want to tell you something else about this great woman. You know, that name, Esther, is pretty interesting. Her Persian name, that's actually her Hebrew name would be Hadassah, but the Persian name Esther was derived from the Persian word for star. It's kind of interesting, too, because on Judge Rosie's background, you see the Texas star there behind her head, and it's got 5 points. Well, you know, the myrtle tree, which is, you know, another Hadassah, which means myrtle tree, has 5 petals on its roses. How all this is tied in is just simply amazing. I don't even have time to get into it because in just a few minutes, we're going to be even more excited. But let me tell you about this name, Esther. I want to show you. This is from, you can look this up for yourself, but let's see if I can zoom in on it right there. It says, Hebrew letters making up the name Esther. It's Strong 6035, Strong's Concordance. And let's look at the letters to see what they illustrate. And remember, there's no vowels in the Hebrew. So we have Aleph, and it means it's symbolic, meaning strength, leader, first, or literally meaning ox or bull. And then the letter Samech, symbolically meaning support, twist, slowly turn, literally meaning. And then it says Hey, symbolic meaning to reveal, or the literal meaning behold. And then Resh, with symbolic, the letter Resh, symbolic meaning a person, the highest, the head, literally meaning head. Now I want you to look here what they say that the name Esther actually means. First to support the revealing or beholding of the highest, or the head. First to support. This woman has gone... I can't even describe what this woman is doing, what she's even doing even right now at this instant. I can't reveal everything to you, but it will be revealed in time. But this woman is, this Nora, Okay, and these two women, I guess we could call them the witnessettes or something, down in Laredo that are pushing this work. I get calls all the time. In fact, last Sabbath, I was right after service, I got a call from a woman in California, from Pakistan, that said, "Hey, Esther gave me your number. I got a son that needs help." Like, all the way in California? Esther's busy. I mean, this, she said she's going to bring this to every country, every state, every individual, everyone. And just recently, we went to another city in South Texas, and I was amazed. Esther accompanied us, and we got into every single office we went to, the county judge, the district attorney. It's like the door just swung wide open, okay? Now, we know that Yahweh is the one that's behind this whole thing, but he's using these individuals that aren't even in the house of Yahweh, okay, that firmly and truly believe in this program. They're not making commercials. These women, this is from the heart. This is coming from the heart. That's why it's so believable, because they're willing to put their whole career, their whole reputation, everything on the line for this program. And guess what? You can call them all you want. You can email them all you want. I'm not talking to you, but anybody that's listening that thinks they can put a stop to this work, this great seventh light, you're not going to put it out. And these people are determined to tell you, get behind me, Satan. We're going to push this forward, and it's going to fill the earth. And at this time, it's been a pleasure talking to the great saints of Yahweh. At this time, it is my great and awesome opportunity to present to you the greatest teacher on the face of the earth, the great Kohan Ishlaibel Hawkins!
Praise God!
Yeah. Oh, so lassie day! The devil here. Y'all should have seen these guys over here. They're jumping that far off the floor. That is wonderful. Y'all, you may be seated. If you get cold, we'll give you some exercise here. Run in place. Today, if you'll turn over to Daniel. Daniel, well, today is Daniel 12, 7. How about that? 12, 7. Someone told me to read that. And I heard the man clothed in linen on that future day is teaching when he held up his right hand and his left hand towards heaven and said, "The end is coming." And it's set with the 3.5 years. If you haven't read that, well, you need to anyway. You need to read it several times. It's in the Nuclear Baby, and I believe it's page 135. It starts, but it's the nine months. The birth and the rebirth of the nuclear baby. It gives you the dates, the same dates that the politicians are giving you today for what they're going to do. What we are doing, I passed up the news today because I wanted to cover too much, and I've got too much here to cover, but concentrating. I was telling someone how to get the children to concentrate yesterday, and I said, I think the whole audience needs this. The way you train yourself to concentrate is to let someone read you a scripture and then tell that person what he read. and practice this. Now, when he reads it to you, of course, you won't hear a thing he said after 5 minutes is gone. But if you really concentrate on what I said, can you repeat that back to me, Daniel 12:7, without looking? Now, if you really concentrate, and I read it again, you'd probably be able to get part of it anyway. But that's the way you train yourself to concentrate on what is being taught, what is being said. Now, how do you train yourself to remember? Well, you make notes, and then you go back and rehearse. That's what the Scripture tells you, all of this. The Scripture tells you this. I remember a course with Dale Carnegie Institute that said there was only one in like 100,000, no, 10,000, one in 10,000 that actually wanted to better themselves. And so when they went to a town to sign up people for their college, they could bet on the size of that town how many there would be in it that would actually take the course. And he said it turned out that way. But they taught you to concentrate and remember. In fact, the man that taught the class, he could look an audience over of 30 people or so, and he could tell you everybody's names and so forth. Before you left, he'd be addressing you by name and shaking your hand. Now, that's how great the mind can be if you want to put it to use. What we're doing, the world is getting ready for war, of course, and the Catholic Church, it knows what it's doing. It's opposing everything the House of Yahweh does, but we're going to win this battle, and we're going to win the war. We're going to take over the earth, and not only the earth, but the authority over the whole universe is going to be ours. And of course, there will be war no more. That's something that hasn't occurred in the 6,000 years of mankind since Cain, and then all the world went the way of Cain, as James or Jacob says. Global warming can be stopped if we act now, says the House of Yahweh in a news release. That was released on 12/6, and the total news medias that have run it already, and they're still coming in, is 46,165. We praise Yahweh. We got some really some large newspapers here, and national newspapers, and also international. This thing went global, so it's reaching a lot of people, and this number that I gave you just includes the United States. It doesn't include India and Russia and all these places that is getting these. But here in the United States, Travel Weekly, the national newspaper of the travel industry. Now, these are just a few that they said here, just a few places that ran this. Renewal Energy World, they should have some input reading this article, and then they should be able to take it and maybe do something to spread this information, because it's not burning wood or coal that's causing the global warming. Causing the starfish to die, causing the whales to die, causing the coral reefs to die. And they have known this for quite some time. Coral reefs. Why would the AIDS virus attack a coral reef? But they do, and the scientists know it, and they're killing the coral reef. Travel Weekly is one of the large newspapers. Renewal Energy, another one. The Buffalo News in New York is also a large newspaper that's running it. You in New York City, you might get that and hang on to it. It'll be worth gobs of money one of these days. got NewsWire. This is in UK. Before it's news. Let's see. Religious organization releases another new publication that warns of plagues and catastrophes that will get worse, just as the days of Moshe when he said, "Let my people go." Now, this was released 11/29, and there's 49,751 news medias that's running it right now. So they're spreading the news. News. Praise Yahweh. That's what we're doing. We are taking Yahweh's message of the kingdom to the world. And of course, this had to start in this generation. Yahweh had to establish his house because his house had been destroyed by the fourth beast. That the army stood on his part. I know you're familiar with that scripture. How many of the future priests can tell me where that scripture is found, that the army will stand on his part? And that will show you how much you need. Well, there's two, three, four. That'll show you how much you need to learn to concentrate. It should be 11:31, but don't be turning there to read it right now. I want you to listen to me closely. There is a battle going on. It's no competition. Yahweh could take over this world right now if he wanted to, but he's wanting to save his people from their sins. And of course, that's the reason he's allowed the rebellious religions, of which there was 10 that Daniel showed, started in the fourth beast that took over the world. That is, it ruled the whole world by force. There was 10, and then a little one, a little horn. These are religions, and a little horn, meaning worthless as far as religion goes. As far as salvation goes, it was worthless. This little horn, this was a religion that was among 10 other religions of this fourth beast, of Daniel 7 and also Daniel 2. But this little religion, of course, it didn't care about religion. The Herodians didn't care about religion. They were a wealthy group that saw the opportunity to seize an opportunity to bring in more money, but also to control the people. And they didn't care whether it was deception or whether it was truth. It made them no difference. The only thing they were after was money and power. They owned the roving army that came over the hill, as history says. Some of these history books, you would think that the man was on dope, or maybe he just run around drinking all the time and wrote stupid things like that. Well, they must have came over the mountains there from somewhere, to maybe they were Arcadians or Wewokians, whatever your guess might be. And these are our historians, and even the historians that knew the truth, when the battle was won, they was afraid to write it, so they wrote a bunch of lies. And how do I know that? Well, they differed among each other, and you can get bits and pieces of the truth, and when you find two that says the same thing and they were far apart, that must be it right there. Either that or they were guided by the same Pope to write the lies. And but anyway, there's a lot of history that you can't depend on. And they say perhaps, they use words perhaps and maybe and things like this. showing that they don't know. They should have done like the commentators say, when I just don't understand this and I'm not going to write on it. So, and just leave it out. So that's the way many of them do. The fact is, this little horn on the roving army that became the Roman army, the 11 horns altogether became the Catholic Church, which simply means universal. It has no meaning except universal. And you can make what you want out of that, but what they mean is it carries the same meaning as democratic, democracy, these words. You know, anyone can join, just follow one of these gods. But so long as you don't follow Yahweh, so long as you don't teach Yahweh's laws or anything like that, you can be a member. And of course, if you don't convert from Yahweh or Yahweh's laws, if you keep hanging on to Scripture, then you're dead. You make yourself a prey, as the Scripture says. Make yourself a prey. That is someone that they're hunting to kill. And they killed, some of the historians say, it had to be over a trillion people that they killed altogether. And the Crusades, if you notice the other day, Netanyahu gave the Pope a book that his dad wrote on the Crusades. And of course, I don't have the book, I'm trying to get it now, but I'd like to see what truth he did put in there. But the Crusades in Germany, that of course they were trying to kill the Last Day's Witness, and this was Satan's doing, because she knew it was time for me to be born. And of course, now you got to remember too, they tried to kill Moshe, and you see how Yahweh's power over the gods took control there, and the very ones that was wanting to kill him raised him up as their own baby, put him through the schools, and then Yahweh took him out of there. He did some silly things, didn't he? You wouldn't have think Moshe would have done the silly things that he did. Could he have been led to do that for the sound reason that he had to go do a job for Yahweh and he had to get him out of that country? And of course, he was offered the whole kingdoms there, all the kingdoms there. That's how popular the man was, trained in all their schools, well-educated, and had a mind of quick thinking. So but Yahweh took him out of there and took him where he wanted him to be, a part of his house, and then trained him for a few years, sent him back to get the 12 tribes of Israel, or the children of Israel, the children of the man Israel, which they multiplied like crazy in Egypt, and they outnumbered the Egyptians. And the Egyptians couldn't even count them all. But they were worried about them. They feared them, and they should have. Well, when they left, their army was destroyed, and the 12 tribes came to the place Yahweh had planned for them to, where where Yahshua would be born, being the seed of David, and. another one yet. I gave that for the future priest to dwell on. But another one also is involved in his genes. Y'all are still working on that, right? Yes? Okay. One head shook here. I'm not going to tell you right away. I may tell you Passover, but you need to work on it. You need to find it before then. Anyway, to bring you a little more history here, the 12 tribes, they turned against Samuel. Now, that they were called elders at that time, and of course they controlled Israel. Once they turned against Samuel, they chose themselves kings, And of course, they started fighting over the wealth. And each one of them trying to build a Nimrod system because they rejected Yahweh. Yahweh said they rejected me, that I should not rule over them. So they started building themselves. Every king started building himself. How do I control this wealth that we got here in this colony of people? Well, I got to get strong, more people. I got to train an army. So we'll do that with your taxes. And and of course, that's what they're doing today. We're going to have you some more of that very soon from the great deacon Tovia. But the cost here in America for what the elders started doing when they rejected Yahweh in the days of Samuel, 1 Samuel 8, shows you that. What they were doing was spending their money on war. And that's what they're doing now. They were multiplying, they're taking captive, and then another king would come in stronger and take captive. Well, you wound up, they were led by religions. The colonies was put together by religions. That's how they started, by a religion. And every one of them had cultures of their own or that they wanted to follow, or traditions, as Yahshua called it, traditions. And of course, this is a battle even today from people who come here with different traditions and they want to hang on to their traditions and rebel against Yahweh. But in Matithya now, for salvation, the Savior said, seek first, and that was brought out today by one of the future priests, seek first the kingdom, above all. It means above all. Seek the kingdom of Yahweh. Well, how do you do it? And he gives you very specific ways of how you are to seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. Turn over, you remember Matithya 6:23, but turn over to Deuteronomy 12. Matithya 6:23 was where Yahshua said, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, Yahweh's righteousness. Seek first that. And then he says, you're a fool now if you don't believe what the prophets have spoken. So he tells you, you've got to believe what the prophets have spoken, or you're going to be a part of Revelations 20. Revelations 20. Do you remember Revelations 20? Can y'all quote that by heart? No? Okay. Well, I called it the Great White Throne Judgment. Others have picked up on that since I started calling it that. The Great White Throne Judgment, where this beast of Daniel 7, who's going to exist until the great nuclear war wipes out 4/5 of the people, it's going to exist until then, Yahweh says, until the great burning takes place. And that great burning then is spoken of in Revelations, the 20th chapter. And all who was not found written in the book of submission, the book of unity, the book of Yahshua, the book of choosing righteousness, you've got to choose it. He says you must choose it. You must choose to be righteous. You must choose to submit to the priest. You must choose to do what he says afterwards. And if you don't choose, then you won't be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because he is keeping perfect records on your life. And every strike will go against you where you go against the law. So unity. And he says, you're going to know this at the end because there won't be anything there but unity. So what is going to enter that kingdom is those who choose to be in unity 100%, no ifs, ands, and buts, and no thing, well, I'll do it till they try to break my tradition. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to give Christmas presents to my children. I'm going to follow my culture that I was brought up in. Where do you find that in Scripture? Where? Well, I know a lot of scriptures that's against it. In fact, you can take it to hell and burn with it if that's what you choose. It's your choice if you practice that manner. No ifs, ands, and buts. I can't pull you out of hell. If I grabbed you by the foot, my hand would burn. If you don't repent now, I will never be able to help you. If you go near this world again, he tells you in Revelations, here's the end looking at us right now. In fact, we expected not Passover. We're going to enjoy the best feast we've ever had, Passover. But we're expecting it just not very long after Passover. All of this is going to take place. It's falling right in line with the nuclear baby, the 9 months, the dates are there for you. Look at them. You really need to learn that and be able to preach it on your own to anyone who asked of you. Well, here is what you must choose now. In Deuteronomy, here's how you seek the kingdom. You don't seek it like Hiawatha, you know, looking at gazing at the mountains. You seek it by instruction as to what the priest or the one sent, as the priests keep repeating here, by what the one sent, the ordained or prophesied work of Yahweh, what they teach you. That's how you seek it, by seeking those, the house of Yahweh and the priest who will tell you what to do, but there you must choose to ask, Yahweh said. Yes, you actually have to ask. You must choose that. And then you must ask. If you don't ask and you say, well, it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. Well, you've already been told, you know, don't do these things. Don't go back out into the world. But, you know, yeah. Well, I'll ask for forgiveness later. That's really not repentance and it's really not conversion. And that's what you're commanded to do. Acts 3:19, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And if you don't convert, then your sins are never blotted out and you're never written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Deuteronomy 12 and verse 5, he said, but you are to seek, and this is what Yeshua said too, seek first this habitation of Yahweh, of the Father, of your Father, that is Yahweh, Father Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh, your Father, shall choose and show you in prophecy that he chose this. This is how he shows you in prophecy. Seek through the prophecies the place Yahweh shows you that he chose out of all the tribes to establish his name, and there you must go. You won't find this on the seven hills of Rome. And they keep saying, well, we moved from there. We're not that group anymore. Well, you took your religion with you, see, and your religion is what gives you away. You're still the same religion with the same fruits. And we know you by your fruits. By their fruits, Yeshua said, chapter 7 of Matthew, by their fruits you will know them. And then verse 7, he says, there in front of Yahweh, which means Yahweh is, this is an appointment with Yahweh. I said this morning when people were calling yesterday wanting to know, are we going to have services? I said, isn't it the Sabbath? Tomorrow the Sabbath? What are you talking about? Are we going to? Of course, we're going to obey the laws of Yahweh. And I said this morning, they kept saying, it's awfully slick out there. And I said, well, if you can't drive, we'll get you there. If I have to, I'll come get you myself. I'll carry you here if you're not too heavy. There in front of Yahweh, every Sabbath day, there in front of Yahweh, your Father, you and your family shall eat. Actually supposed to eat. But it's you that's got to choose whether you want to eat or not in front of Yahweh. You get that? That's your choice, whether you do this or not. This is one of the laws of Yahweh. I didn't know that was a law. It's not in the Ten Commandments. Is that as far as you've read, is the Ten Commandments? You sure you read all of them? Can you tell me what they say? Study. Study. That's how you seek the habitation of Yahweh. See, we're seeking the real habitation, not just this earthly house. This earthly house is what gets you there, because the priests are here in this earthly house that teaches you the way to get to the habitation of Yahweh, which the only ones that are going to get in there is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All the Sodomites are going to be cast out and go the other way. And that's what Tutu was his name. He said, I would rather go to the other place than I would heaven if it doesn't allow queers. Yes, he said that. He actually made his own choice with his own mouth. Well, you got to choose, Tutu, and you made your choice. There in front of Yahweh, your Father, you and your family shall eat, and you shall rejoice. Someone called me yesterday, and they were glorifying the house and the work because we had made the cafeteria such a pleasant place, and it was warm and cozy and everything. And they said even Naomi was wearing a smile now. And I said, I got to get back there and see her. Even dancing going on and things like this, because it's so wonderful here. Well, this comes with satisfaction and rejoicing. Rejoice, you must rejoice in all that you're assigned to do, because Yahweh, your Father, I'll show you this, you're assigned to it. You're assigned to it by a priest. I'll show it to you in just a minute. Because Yahweh, your Father, has blessed you. Yes, he blessed you. When he called you to his house, he blessed you. You must not at all follow your cultures or your traditions. Do as we are doing here today, every man and woman, or man or woman, doing whatever is right in his or her own eyes. You see that? And now you must choose to follow this, right? It's you that makes the choice, and you must choose to do this. Otherwise, you will be with Tutu until you are consumed. And that word does mean consumed, and it means to perish also, as the word Yeshua used. Look on to verse 12. And you shall rejoice in front of Yahweh, you and your wife, your sons, your daughters, which means you must teach your sons and daughters to do so. Your men servant, your maid servants, and the Levite who lives within your gates, since he has no portion nor inheritance with you. Look at verse 14. But only in the place Yahweh chooses. And remember, Amosha 3:7. I will have no place unless I prophesy it in advance. Now look at chapter 16. He says, go to the place. Look at 16, verse 11. You shall rejoice in front of Yahweh. Look at the last verse there, the last part of that verse. At the place Yahweh your Father chooses to establish his name. And of course, in these last days, the house of Yahweh was destroyed and remained without existence for 1600 years. After it was destroyed in 70 CE, by the Catholic Church. They weren't calling themselves Catholic at that time. They didn't call themselves Catholic till they moved to Rome. They had Titus destroy the temple, but take all the artifacts to Rome. The Herodians, they plucked up the three religions they wanted to take with them, and they took them to Rome. Later, they took in these others and let them start invading and having a word in the say and dishing out business to them if they paid their tribute to the mother church. All of this, we can prove every bit of this. Titus destroyed the temple along with, he moved all the artifacts to Rome, including the book of the law, which was written by Moshe. They have that too. Everything. The menorah. I wonder now if they ever look at it, if they ever know that we're the last work. I think they do, because the Pope is trying to put out disclaimers saying I'm a false prophet and that I'm the one saying I know everything. Well, I'm not going to lie about it. I do. I know it because Yahweh has it written right here for me, and I know everything that's going to take place. Well, he said, you've got to choose this now. Look on over to chapter 17. Then you must go there. You must go to the priest there, and you must choose to go to the priest. Who are Levites? That's part of their genes. That's the obvious part of their genes. There's another one that's not so obvious, like it was with Yahshua, that our future priest is supposed to find for me before the feast. And to the judges, you must choose to go to the judges, that is counselors, who is in office. Now, if you don't choose this, you won't be there. You know, this is how you're seeking the house, seeking to be a part of the habitation of Yahweh. That's what he means there. Seek to be a part of the habitation of Yahweh. Seek to go there. To go there? Well, we see that in Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who keep his laws, for they have right to go there. They have right to the tree of life and to enter the gates into the house of Yahweh. The judge who is in office at that time, the judges that lived in Yahshua's day, is not the judges. Now when you seek the house of Yahweh, you seek a different set of judges, but they are in office. They are in office at this time because Yahweh had his last day's witness, who he calls the branch, who he said would branch out and establish the house of Yahweh in the chief of the nations. He had him do this. So it's your choice now to come to the house of Yahweh, spoken of in prophecy. Of course, there is no other. Unless it's spoken of by prophecy, it's not the house of Yahweh. Ask for their decision. Did you get that? And you got to ask for it. You got to go there and you got to ask them. Now, if you don't choose to ask, you've broken another law. So you've got to choose to do this. You're not going to be forced to do it. You're going to have to choose to ask their decision. And they will give you the solution, the peaceful solution. The judgment in all matters, the counseling in all matters, the decision. You must act according to it. You must choose to act according to the sentence that they pronounce for you. Now, it's your choice. I'll show you what occurs next if you don't make that choice. He's telling you what to choose, of course. You must choose. And you must act according to their sentence they pronounce for you at the place Yahweh chooses. Be careful to do all they order you to do. according to the law they teach you, and you shall do, and according to the counseling they give you, you shall do. You shall choose to do this. You must not turn aside to the right hand or to the left for the sentence they pronounce for you. The man or woman who acts presumptuously and shows contempt for the priest who stands to minister in front of Yahweh, your Father, or for the judges, that man or woman must be put to death. I praise Yahweh, you still got time to repent. Now, as the lady who appoints judges and counsels judges that you just heard on the show that the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins brought, she said, we should have been doing this ourselves. I thought that was showing great wisdom there, that, you know, these simple things, we should have been doing this for our own children. And when we first brought the peaceful solution here, we fixed a lunchbox saying, what's for dinner? And it was the inside of it was the peaceful solution that we gave to different people. When they showed this to the district attorney, this was one of the Baal worshipers, the Lord worshipers who worship the dead rabbis. That's the Lord's. He didn't know it. He doesn't have sense enough to know it right now. They're the dead rabbis, the dead pharaohs. That's where it started in Egypt. And, of course, they're still in Egypt here in the United States. They're still worshiping the dead rabbis, the dead pharaohs before they were called rabbis. And of course, under the name Lord. It's not a divine title. Look up the word in Unger's Bible Dictionary. Well, here we are now in Deuteronomy, and he's saying, you must choose this. Well, Amos Amoshah 3:7 says that most definitely there Yahweh will choose no work unless it's that is prophesied by his prophets in advance. And then Deuteronomy 17, you've got to go there. Now, look over to Deuteronomy 30. Now, here is what Yahweh has set before you with all this talk on 12:7. I looked and there was the man clothed in linen teaching these things. Teaching the salvation, as Revelation 12 says, now has come salvation. Now, only now. Well, of course, this has the plan from the beginning, but it's completed. This is why we are special, brethren. We are so special. We're the most blessed people who have ever lived. We, Yahweh, through this last day's house, has finally achieved that prophecy of bringing salvation at last. Yes. Without us, the dead wouldn't be raised. That's right. That is our job given to us in prophecy, that we're actually going to raise the dead. That's salvation. We're actually going to convert the forefathers. Yes, we're going to bring them the truth, and they will be given 100 years for us to judge them, to see who will actually follow Yahweh, who will actually choose, and I'm telling you right now, will actually choose to be in unity with Yahweh. You got to choose it, and you got to be in unity, or you'll be in Revelation 20. Well, here in chapter 30, this is Yahweh. This is the book of the law that was given to Moshe that the Catholic Church stole. Yes, the fourth beast who went to the seven hills of Rome And whether you're still on those seven hills or not, or just on them, your religion is the same. So you're not fooling anyone when you say, well, that was papal Rome. I admit it was stupid, all the things that they did, but they did it. Our forefathers did a lot of crazy things, and of course the world is suffering for it right now. The whole world is suffering for it. The crazy things they did, and I'm going to bring this out and make it so clear that even the scientists in America can understand it. In Deuteronomy 12, he said, see, I have set before you at his house now. You won't find this any other place. You got to seek his house, and there I've set before you, I have set before you life by righteousness. You won't find this at the Catholic Church. You won't find it any of Christianity or any of the other 10 religions that's listed along with the Herodians there that now call themselves Catholic. You won't find it in any of these religions of the world today. It's only set before you at his house. That's why you have to seek his house. And once you get these prophecies in your mind, you'll know, sure, I can see now that, yes, this is fulfilling the prophecies, every prophecy. Well, of course, the prophecy, that's the glory of Yahweh. No God can take that, can take the glory of Yahweh, and he says, I'm not going to share it with them. No one is going to, I'm not going to share my glory with others. You know what that was? It was foretelling a future. He's the only being in the universe that can foretell the future. That is a wonderful glory, and it will not be shared. And throughout all eternity, this being will be able to tell you on the weekly meetings and otherwise, yearly meetings and so forth, he will be able to tell you this wouldn't work. It would bring this right here. And he'd prophesy and he'd tell you exactly what that would bring if you went that route. There'll be a voice behind you, at your right shoulder, at your left ear, saying, this is the way. Walk you in it. Always. But he'll know in advance that you're going to be in unity with him, believe him, and not go the other way. Those are the ones that's going to make it in. I've set this before you, life. By righteousness. Of course, the righteousness is coming to unity with Yahweh by keeping his laws. He don't hide his what he believes. He puts it out in writing for you. Says, this is it. This will work. This will bring peace. It'll stop war. It'll stop sickness and disease. Well, any fool could see that. The scientists even know that if we stop doing these things, and they are admitting now that sodomy is causing, I've got newspaper reports here. I'm going to read them. I know I'm not going to get to them today, but I am going to read them that show that the scientists know this now. And they are showing you how they breed, multiply, mutate, crossbreed with other bacteria. How long have I been telling you that? Has it not been for about 40 years? The scientists have discovered it in 2012. Yahweh knew it. Yes, I know all things. It's right here in front of me. And Yahweh is revealing it to me. And he tells you this man is going to have understanding and he's going to be preaching these things on 12:7. Daniel 12:7. The man clothed in linen. On that future day teaching. Well, I've set before you life, but you must choose this life. It won't be given to you otherwise. And I've also set before you death and destruction. That's what we see the Catholic Church bringing right now. We see this has taken place over thousands of years. Now, the scientists know, and they can see now, And I know they've been listening or reading our literature, and they never would have found what they've found already. But they know now that this is built up, and at the same time, it's taken their antibiotics. The bacteria have taken their antibiotics, and they have built an army stronger than ever. And the very one of the highest men in CDC, that's Center for Disease Control, he just put out an article saying, "We have lost the battle, period." He says it's spooky. We have no other place to go. Everything that we feed this thing, this monstrous machine, they take it and they make superbugs out of it, and they come back and fight us. They come back and bite you. And they said they used to be just confined to the hospitals. These superbugs were confined to the hospitals, and that's the only place you could get it. But now they're not. And now they're going global. Yes, they're covering the earth, the whole earth. Sickness and disease. Pope Francis, you haven't seen anything yet. This is going to multiply like crazy. If you don't let my people go, where we can turn this thing around, we're the only ones that know how to do it. And if you don't let my people go, the 2 billion people that Yahweh has gathered is going together, with or without you letting them go. If you let them go now, they could start building a force that would turn this whole thing around. Otherwise, it's going to wipe you out. And that's a promise from Yahweh. He's not doing it. It's your system that's done this. Over the years, you've rebelled against these laws that would stop sickness and disease and stop war. I told you last week, Moshe didn't have to lift an arrow or a bow. He didn't need a gun. Not at all. He said, "Watch what Yahweh can do." When Samuel said, "If you'll give up this God worship," in chapter 7 of 1 Samuel, "If you'll give up this God worship and just serve Yahweh, yes, I will get these people that had taken the artifacts from the temple too." This religion, this was one of the 10 that came down and became part of the fourth beast. Yahweh is going to take their government away, or did take it away, but their lives were prolonged and their activities kept going and building, and their resistance to Yahweh's laws kept building, and with every forbidden sexual act, they caused another superbug and another one. And they kept crossing and crossing and crossing. And now they're built up to the point, the little microorganisms are built to the point that the scientists, the top scientists of the world, are saying, "We have lost the battle." I'll read you that article. I couldn't get back to the place where it was because the snow blocked the gate. I couldn't get in last night when I finally got through. But I'll bring it next Sabbath, Yahweh willing. Yeah, we'll be here next Sabbath again. Come rain, sleet, or snow. Come rain, sleet, or snow, to the house of Yahweh we must go. Well, see, I've set before you this life. I've set before you. Yahweh has set it before you. Life by following my laws, by choosing to follow my laws. There's not going to be any force. He's not going to force you to do this. Nobody's going to stand there with a chair and a whip and a gun or a bomb and threaten you, or a gun and threaten you. No, it's going to be totally unity with Yahweh. Not by power nor by might. It's got to be choosing righteousness, total unity with Yahweh. And I've set before you death and destruction. Well, you can see the destruction now. The scientists can see the destruction. Well, what does that have to do with Christmas? What does that have to do with the price of Easter eggs in China or throughout the world? Well, the gods. You got to make yourself in the image of a god, or you make yourself in the image of a man. The image of the gods is giving gifts. Giving gifts. That seems like a righteous thing, doesn't it? Give somebody a gift? No, not really. See, you've set yourself apart from Yahweh's house. You take yourself out of the house, and you choose to do this on your own. Why? Well, you didn't make up all kinds of excuses, but you get the glory, and you got it. You've received your reward, Yeshua said. Now, if you want to bring glory to the house that actually belongs to Yahweh, then you would obey the scriptures, and you would give all your tithe and offerings, which means gifts, to Yahweh's house. So the food will come from Yahweh's house, and Yahweh will get the glory. His house of Yahweh will get the glory. The house of Yahweh helped me. The house of Yahweh gave me food when I needed it. They gave me clothing. They gave me blankets. Should it be too hard now for you to understand? Don't give gifts on your own. You've received your reward. What was it? A little bit of glory for a little bit of while, and totally separated yourself from Yahweh's house. You didn't seek to begin with. You didn't ask. But you went ahead and did it. Well, I'll ask later. I'll confess later and get forgiveness. That's easier. Well, it's not repentance, and you can't fool Yahweh. You got to get rid of stubbornness. You got to get rid of the world behind you that Yahweh pulls you out of. If you want that world, go back to it. You better live it up, you know, as the movie stars try to pretend. Go out and have more unlawful sex and that's living it up. If you really wanted to live it up, you'd be repenting and turning to Yahweh in conversion. Now notice closely verse 16. Concentrate now. Concentrate on this scripture. In that I command you, I set this destruction before you, in that I command you this day to love Yahweh. Now, you got to choose to love Yahweh. You got to choose to love Yahweh. You got to choose to obey Him. If you love me, keep my commandments, Yahshua said. But you got to choose to do so by walking in all my ways. That is by practicing keeping His law. This is the way to do it. And the more you practice those laws and study what they will do, and what kind of character Yahweh has, there's no way you could keep from loving Yahweh if you do this. By keeping His laws, His statutes, His judgments. We just read some of them. We just read some of them in chapter 12, in chapter 16. Go to the priest and ask. Get the instruction. This is seeking to be a part of His house. Seeking His habitation, not seeking to be part of a god or the image of a god. Yes, the image of the gods, they have all the glory in the world right now, and it's all geared to making money. The Herod family, that's what they were. And Yahweh says everything they did was worthless. The Christmas tree, He says it's a worthless custom. Well, it brings in a lot of wealth. This year, more than ever before. And they're looking forward to another Black Friday and another one after this. And this one cheered them up so much. Of course, he who seeks after silver will never be satisfied with silver. Kenneth Musgrave of Abilene, he died just recently. I guess you noticed it on the news. He is a very wealthy man. one of the Herodians. He built the tallest building in Abilene and had the statue of the Pope sitting in the auditorium. You go in the front door and here was the Pope looking at you. One of the Herodians that's seeking after wealth, and a lord of ACU, one of the lords, the great lords of ACU. Well, he knows nothing now. The dead know nothing. The living know that they will die. Well, of course, his living now has got lawyers and they're seeking after his wealth. You can't take it with you. What if you own the whole world? What if you did? What if you just owned the whole world? That's what Yeshua asked you, showing you how worthless the Herodians were that owned the great army. He was absolutely worthless. He didn't care for religion at all, but he plucked up three of these great religions, Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, and moved them to Rome, to the seven hills of Rome. Now, they moved later, so they're not of that religion anymore, even though they teach it, even though they're promoting the eating of unclean food, the sodomy, all the sexual diseases, even though they're doing the same things that their forefathers did, and said, this was the words out of his own mouth, said, well, our forefathers said we shouldn't pronounce the name Yahweh, so we took it out. We should honor our forefathers. Well, what chapter and verse did that come from now? We should honor our forefathers? You shouldn't even honor your children unless they're righteous. You should honor righteousness only in your children or anyone else. Who is my father and mother anyway? Who's my daughters and my children? They're those that keep the laws of Yahweh right here in this building. That's who they are. Keeping his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, verse 16, so that you may live. So you may live. You're not going to live unless you do. Look down to verse 17. But if your heart turns away or turns back to Egypt, as that's what the prophets called it, turning back to Egypt, and you're not obedient to choosing everything I just showed you from chapter 12, chapter 16, and now here. Obedient, and you are drawn away to submit to God worship, to your cultures that Yahweh pulled you out of, to your traditions, to the fields of lust that you can't seem to kick out of your mind, whatever it is that is God worship, to worship them, to serve them. Remember Romans 6:16, you belong to whom you obey, whether of obedience which leads to righteousness or disobedience which leads to death. 19, I call heaven and earth to witness this against you this day. He calls it today. Heaven and earth is watching you, and they're saying, the scripture says, they're actually groaning to see who Yahweh chooses, seeing the sons of Yahweh in action, because they know the sons of Yahweh are going to, once they're manifest, they're going to be given the authority to stop war, stop hatred, stop sickness and disease, stop it all. We know how to do it. Now, isn't that something, Pope Francis? And we do not lie. That I have set before you life and death. I've set it before you, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose. It's your choice. But he says, choose life. Now, that's a commandment. And if you don't obey that commandment, it's sin. And the sins will shut you off from Yahweh, as Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 said, so both you and your children may live, so that you may love Yahweh. You've got to do all of this in order to love Yahweh. So you may love Yahweh, your Father, by listening to Him. That's what you're doing now. You're listening to Him through the last day's witness, the branch, in linen, holding up both hands to Yahweh on that 12-7, and then obeying Him. Hold fast to Him, for He is your life. Romans 6:16, I quoted that one, so there's no use in turning to that one. Let's see. If you don't obey Yahweh, you belong to, of course, Satan, the devil, as is shown in 1 Yochanan 3:4. Sin is the transgression of Yahweh's laws. Then verse 7, don't let any pope deceive you. Don't let anyone deceive you. You know, you can't get by with sin. It cuts your mind off. It cuts your body. It starts killing your body. You know, what did they say? 27 different micro kingdoms in your eye, in each eye. And of course, the things you eat can start destroying those. Something that you eat today will start building. And if it builds in your eye, or some action you take can start building, and it'll start destroying one of those kingdoms in your eye that operates where you could see color. You know, there's one kingdom that lets you see one color, another kingdom that lets you see another color. It can start destroying that. It can actually destroy, if it destroys enough of the kingdoms in your eye, you know, the others will keep fighting to obtain sight for you. But if you take enough in, this is what the world is doing. Lots of people going blind right now because of breaking Yahweh's laws. And of course, if you keep sinning, worse things will come upon you. And the more you sin, the worse it will get. That's what the Savior told the woman, sin no more, because worse things are going to come upon you if you do. Now, believe this, put it in motion, and withdraw from sin. Start eating healthy. Don't be eating out in the world and taking all this blood into your vessels. It floats around in your vessels, as Isaiah 65 said, floats around in your vessels. The blood carries the nourishment to your eyes, to every organ in your body. It feeds, it takes all these nourishments and it carries it to all parts of the body. Now, if you eat pork, it will carry trichinosis there. And of course, if the trichina gets in wherever organ it decides or can catch hold of when it's traveling through your veins, it will do so. And it'll start killing off the kingdoms there if your defense system is not strong enough to kill it. And Yahweh shows that it's not always. And He says, don't defile yourself in these ways. Now, you must choose not to defile yourself. You must make that choice. And you're going to be judged by what you choose. And if you choose righteousness, then you will be with Me in that kingdom. I'm going to do everything I can to get in Yahweh Shammai. Praise Yahweh. I want every one of you there with Me. And you can be. You can be. Yahweh makes it possible. With Yahweh, all things are possible. You just got to choose it. Choose it, but then obey it. Don't go against it. Now, this is a time of the year when you're going to be pulled by the ads on television, the goofy stuff that they stick up in signs up and down the roads, You know, it's all a temptation, the music. You know, they'll poke that in your mind and you'll go around singing Jingle Bells. And your mind will be doing the same thing. It'll be jingling. And if you listen closely, you can hear your IQ dropping really fast. It hits the ground really hard like raindrops if you eat too much of it. Don't eat it. Eat the book of Yahweh. Eat the book of Yahweh and then obey it. Choose to eat it and obey it. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.